Did I, we talk about elephants in the room when we know they're there and no one wants to talk about them, right? How many of you know? Are working on that. It is not Rocky's fault, okay? So we're going to clarify that right now. We are working through that, and I think it's my fault right now. There we go. Anything here? I can hear that I'm not being heard. I will try to move back here. If there's many tons of pops, I'll move back here. And so Rocky and I've got that worked out. We want to work these kinks out because, man, I struggle standing still. Anybody ever notice that? So anyway, there we go. We talked about it's in the open air now. Okay. Joshua, we are studying the book of Joshua. Take out your Bibles. Joshua chapter 1. Excited to begin there this morning. Joshua chapter 1. When I was a little kid, people would ask me, what's your favorite book of the Bible? I guess it's Joshua. I don't know. Man, aren't you thankful for the book of Joshua? God has definitely given us that book. Again, he's given us all of his word for a reason. But as we study the book of Joshua this morning, I want us to, as we begin seeing this transition of leadership, and I know I mentioned it already, I am thankful I am not following in the footsteps of a leader who has passed away, but I'm thankful that Pastor Bob is here thankful that he is still part of our church family. The 41 years that he's been here, I'm honored and humbled to follow in the footsteps. And as we think about Joshua and the footsteps that he was following in Moses' footsteps, we can divide Moses' life into segments, and they're about 40-year segments. And I'm just thankful for that and just the aspect of faithfulness that we have as a church and a pastor. How many of you, I'd just like to know, how many of you here have been here since Pastor Bob came? Anybody? Debbie was here since he came. Excellent. And we have a couple others as well. I'll be right back. The elephant in the room, right? That's why we discuss these things. Okay. We are thankful for the many years that God has allowed the Castles not just to be here, but to serve here and to work for God. And to do God's bidding and God's work. And we're truly thankful for all that he's done in their lives and through them. And what a blessing that is. It's interesting as we start in the book of Joshua, we see transitions. Not just transitions in the ministry of the leaders there between Moses and Joshua, but we see the reality of transitions for the children of Israel. Transitions can be tough. Transitions often cause us to leave our comfort zones and to get away from where we've been and where we're comfortable. I mentioned it in Sunday school here in the auditorium. Sometimes we have our pew, right? That is where we sit, and you can't sit there because that's my spot. That's our comfort zone, right? We have comfort zones in life. We go to certain gas stations because they're easiest, and that's the ones we know. It's on the way. We go to certain grocery stores because that's where we go. And you ever go to Meijer or whatever grocery store it is, and then you go to a different one? Whoa! Karen and I have often commented, we love our Meijer. They sell the same things, it's just you know where it is. We get out of our comfort zone. The last couple times that we have gone down to Jackson, I have had Karen drive. She says, I feel so awkward driving when you're in the car. But I want her to get comfortable with knowing where stuff is because this is our home, our life. And sometimes we've just got to do it and get out of our comfort zone so we can learn a new comfort zone. And that's what God has called us as a church to do. You are learning us and we are learning you. And we just can't tell you how excited we are to be here. And it's been so neat to watch God lead it all the way. Really, it's been incredible to watch God take 2.5 years to lead us here. And been incredible to watch that. And from your aspect, as we continue to learn more of what God has done here over the last 2.5 years. And just been incredible to watch God do it. It was incredible to watch God sell our house. And we're excited about that. And as much as it's where our memories were, we have great memories. But that was then, and God has us here now. That doesn't mean there are going to be hiccups and hurts in our lives and in our church family's life. We've already experienced some of those here as a church family. And there are difficulties. Transitions aren't always easy. But when we transist into new life and a new avenue as we follow God, it's always best. Not always easy, but always best. And we see that in the life of Joshua. Here he is, he's serving Moses, he's living for God, and he's going through this. But he realizes he is now in charge. He is now the leader of the nation of Israel. What a huge task and responsibility. I can't even begin to imagine, because I'm imagining what it is to be here as the pastor. And grasping that awesome responsibility of God to lead. Joshua, as he goes through this transition, he's reminded of some truths from God that I'd like us to look at this morning that we can see really do affect our lives and our transition as a church family. As we go through life, we must make this commitment as we go through this transition that we continue on for the Lord. We continue on. Notice that as we look at this, it's not that they changed directions. Jerusalem Baptist Church is not changing from what it's been. We are continuing on for the Lord. It's not that, okay, so here's a younger guy and we're just changing the way we do. How many of you have ever seen something on the screen? I mean, that's different, isn't it? We use it at times, but last Sunday night for the first time I used it and I was preaching. One, I'm trying to help grasp for the kids, give them something else to focus on. We're trying to do, is that wrong? But we're going on the same direction as what we've always gone. We aren't here to change this church. We are here as a church family to grow together for God and continue on really in the footsteps, in the same path that God led Pastor Bob to lead over these last 41 years. And we see that in Joshua's life. Joshua chapter 1, we read the first few verses already this morning. It says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." Now in Sunday school, we started a study in the book of Jonah here in the auditorium class, and it's going to be a short study. But you know what verse 1 says of Jonah? "And the word of the Lord came unto the son of Amittai, saying," God speaks. Aren't you thankful we have the word of the Lord? And that we aren't just some social club getting together for the fun of it. And that we aren't just here because we need something to encourage us because life is hopeless. The reality is, without Christ, it is. The needs and the struggles that were physical, and even the Simmons are still going through, and Laura with her brother, and just so many other physical things, and Keturah's friend, a young man going through these aspects of what's going to go on with cancer. Life is hopeless without Christ. But see, the reality is, Joshua wasn't jumping in to lead this people because they needed some kind of leadership. He was leading a people unto God. And that's what, as a church family, as we grow together this year, we are continuing on for the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And that is our commitment. And that is the commitment that Joshua made. Joshua 24, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Many of us are familiar with that verse. And it's a commitment we need to make, but really it's a commitment every day. I will serve God. I will continue on in the path that God has led. And as we see that, number one, we can remember God's promises. Aren't you thankful we aren't going through life alone? Remember God's promises. "Here, the word of the Lord came unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Do you think Joshua didn't know that? He knew he was dead. This wasn't some fact. Where was I? Man, I wasn't expecting. He knew that. We all have been in this process. And we know that Pastor Bob is not the pastor. That God has called me to be that pastor. We're not shocked with that. Though as with Moses and Joshua, there were different leadership styles. There were different ways of doing it, but it was on for the same path and on for God's glory. And that's what he goes on here with Joshua. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which," what? God is speaking. He says, "I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." There was a promise that God gave to Moses, and it was good for Joshua. God has led Jerusalem Baptist Church For yes, the 41 years under Pastor Bob's leadership, but then what? The one or two before that as they were in the beginning stages of a church family. And those same promises to lead the church all those years are the same ones that we're going to continue on together with. Remembering the promises of God. And that's what God is reminding Joshua here. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, the promises of God. Aren't you thankful that we have promises of God? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my helper. And multitudes of promises. Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So many promises. But just even the presence, and we're going to specifically look at the presence of God as one of those promises. But the promises that God gives us, that's what gives us hope to continue on in life. Many people use the word hope, and as we use the word hope today, we see the reality that, I hope that doesn't happen. It's a strong desire or a wish. But as we look at the Bible and we see the word hope, we see it's a confidence in Christ. The hope of salvation, not that I hope I'm going to go to heaven someday, because John 20, these are written that ye might know, or that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John, 1 John then talks about that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There, that hope that we have in Christ is a confidence, not a strong desire that something will happen. And that's the same confidence that Joshua goes on to leading the children of Israel, and that the children of Israel had under this transition and new leadership. We have Christ, we have God, we're following His ways. Continuing on in the path we've gone under the promises of God. Remembering the promises of God. It's interesting as we see these verses here that God's plans haven't changed. They haven't changed. Our church isn't changing. There are going to be some small changes. I can't say we're not changing. But we aren't changing from the direction that we've been. That you have followed Pastor Bob to and through. We are pressing on, continuing on. God's plans for our church haven't changed. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Transitions can be tough, but even transitions can be done for the glory of God. That's been the purpose of the church. That's going to continue to be the purpose of our church. Reaching out to the lost and dying world. Matthew 28, we're reminded that. To go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's the point of salvation and baptism and teaching them to grow in Christ. That which the church has been focused and going for is what we're continuing to be focused and going for. We aren't some social club. We aren't just coming together because we want to get more people here. We want to get more activities. We want to get more kids stuff. Yes, some of these things are changing. But that doesn't mean our purpose is changing. We are continuing on remembering the promises of God that His plans are not changing. They haven't changed. It is in the Word of God, and this is really how we dictate and dedicate our lives. How am I going to know what we're going to supposed to do? How do I know what I'm supposed to do? How do you? We read the Word of God. That's why when we get together, it's not some quote, some little bit of scripture passage, and then we go on about how you can feel good. Life isn't about feeling good. It's about God receiving the glory. And that's what Joshua was going through. Hey, we're continuing on in the same path that God has led. We remember these promises of God. His plans have not changed. But as much as that's exciting, I think this one's even a little bit more exciting. His presence hasn't departed. Because that's what life is about. I mean, look at verse 4. From the wilderness in Lebanon, even under the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So he's talking about, again, the plans that God has had. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. I'm thankful that the same God that Pastor Bob had leading his life as he led the church is the exact same God that I have in my life working. But more exciting than that, it's the exact same God you have in your life working. Are you letting him? Are you letting him through his word? Not just while we're together as a church family. Not just Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And boy, I want you here. We're growing together this year as we go through this transition time. And we're growing as we're going to be talking and speaking and learning from 1 John on Sunday evenings. Once we get there, I know. But as we finish up this deacons and stuff, we're growing and bearing fruit on Wednesday nights. And what it looks like and how does that affect my life today and Thursday? Because Thursday's coming, isn't it? What's Thursday? It's the day after Wednesday. And then we got to live godly Thursday just as much as we have to on Monday. We've got to live godly then just as much as we have to on Sunday. It's not about just coming to church. We want you here as we grow together in godliness this year. And it's God's presence hasn't departed. It's not just that God's presence is here. In the Old Testament, we're reminded that God met with them. We know the tabernacle as the children of Israel traveled. And we know once they got it settled in the land and God allowed Solomon to build a temple. But aren't you thankful that the presence of God doesn't reside in this building, but in our hearts and our lives for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior? We're reminded in 1 Corinthians that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wow. The presence of God hasn't departed. That's what gives us hope and change and direction. That's how we can go through tough transitions. Things that, man, I don't understand. Pastor Bob never did it this way. I like Pastor Bob. Well, I like him too, okay? So we're all there. But, I mean, there are differences between Pastor Bob and me. You all know that. And if you haven't seen it yet, you will. We're different. One of us is older than the other. I mean, there's a lot of differences. But the exciting promise is that the presence of God that he had is the same presence of God that I can have. And as much as he had to grow individually in his own life spiritually every day, I have to do. And so do you. And we get to do this together because God's promise of his presence is real. And it's not just for some high leadership in the church, as some churches, as some religions teach. But it's for all of us. The presence of God, the promise of the presence of God. And that's what God promises Joshua here. He says, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not forsake, or I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That didn't mean Joshua didn't have difficult times that he was going to go through. God says, I will not fail thee. Did they fail in some battles early on? Yeah, we're going to look at that in the next few weeks. Did that mean God failed them? No. There are going to be tough things that we're going to go through. Just telling you. We're experiencing some of them. And we will experience things we have no clue about yet. Maybe this year, maybe next year. Satan does not want to see us go on and continue on for God. Things are tough. But God says, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, and because of that, this is what, verse 6, God tells Joshua, so, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He's saying, you can in confidence go the way that I have directed and promised in the past, because I am with you. And that's how we will grow together this year. As we continue to grow in our walk with God, as we draw close to him, as he wants to be close to us. It's not that God has departed sometimes when we don't feel his presence. It's that we have walked away. We've turned our backs. Whether it's our sin or our blindness or our unbelief or whatever it may be. But God wants us to have that close relationship with him. And he's telling Joshua, hey, remember my promises. The plans that I've had, that I told Moses, still good for you. The promise of my presence, that wasn't just for Moses. That was for you. And I mean, it's incredible to watch God build upon some of these truths and principles. As we look at the Word of God, many times things are revealed and continue to be revealed in greater ways. The promise of the Messiah in Genesis chapter 3. You can see the beginnings of it. But it doesn't say in Genesis 3 that Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross for our sins and we can have forgiveness and that we can have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That God revealed that as he went through his word. But here he's promised that. And we see that. This promise of the presence of God. It wasn't just for Moses. It was for Joshua. But it wasn't just for the leaders, it wasn't just for the king that the Holy Ghost would come upon and depart in the Old Testament as we see some of that. But in the New Testament, when you know Christ as Savior, when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you trust him as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell immediately. Amen. That is the presence of God in our lives. The promise of the presence of God is real. Not just for us adults, you teenagers. It's for those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Whether they're 3, 4, 5, 25, 55, or whatever. The promise of the presence of God is real. So as we go through this transition time as a church family, we must remember the promises of God. Remember his promises. His plans haven't changed. His presence is real. Number 2, recognize God's commands. Recognize God's commands. Okay, so we've gone through this transition time in a sense. I know the 8th of January, I was installed as the pastor. So technically, our transition's done. Practically, it's still got a lot to be worked out, doesn't it? So much that I'm learning. I'm so thankful for you guys helping me learn. And John and Lloyd came in and they were teaching me the keys and in my keys there. It's like, okay, so we were going through all that. And for others who've helped me with this, or oh, we do this, or this is where this is. Or I asked Paul this morning, do we have a copier? I mean, I thought I heard we had one, but I didn't know we had. I mean, and Paul says, so anyway, that was a good conversation, Paul. But I mean, I'm learning some of these things. These are just practical things we're learning. But we're not just doing there's a lot of practical stuff we're going to continue to learn. And as we grow together this year, we need to recognize God's commands. Yes, remember his promises, and that's what gives us the hope to go through these tough transitions at times. And things that will be tough in the future. But we need to recognize God's commands. He's not through with Jeruel. He's not done with Munith and Stockbridge and Gregory and you name it. He's not done with Jackson County and Ingham County and what's the other county? I'm still learning it all. Okay, I mean, God's not done. We've got to remember his commands. And this is what God reminds Joshua. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In this time of transition, we are following the word of God. That's what dictates everything we do. Sure, it may flesh itself out a little differently by seeing this a little different there or that, but the commands of God are what we're continuing on with. We will stand on God's word. We will let that dictate everything we do as a church family. I mean, just different. I know I mentioned this morning we're locking doors. Why? Well, I just think we need to do it. No. Our day and age have changed, and there's just so many different things. That didn't mean Pastor Bob did it wrong. Okay, as there are going to be some changes that we may bring about this year, I'm in no way saying Pastor Bob did it wrong, we're doing this. And I don't ever want you to think that. I appreciate Pastor Bob and the foundation he's laid here. But there are going to be some things that we change and do a little differently. But we're not just going to change them because, well, that's the way we've always done it, so you guys get to do it that way too. We're going to look at God's word and say, why are we going to do this? Well, God's word doesn't say we should lock our doors. No, but I think there's some practical things with protecting our kids and this. I mean, and yet we're teaching them. I mean, just so many. I mean, so again, God's word must dictate everything we do in life. And so we must remember, yes, the promises of God, but then the commands. God's commands. His word must be our priority. That's what he's telling Joshua here. observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. There's an old song, keep in the middle of the road. Not to the right, don't turn to the left, but keep in the middle of the road. It's God's word. And we're going that way. And it's not for me to just lead. It's for us all to read and go together and grow together. As Joshua is told in verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So we got to talk about it all the time. But look what he says. But thou shalt what? Meditate. We need to talk about God's word. But what's in the heart comes out. The way that Joshua was going to lead unto godliness was because he was growing in godliness. It wasn't just enough for the children of Israel to meditate on God's word every day. Joshua needed that. Would you pray for me? Satan does not want me to grow. Satan does not want my family to do right. And let me tell you, he's fighting. I'm just telling you, he is. He does not want our kids to do right. And he is fighting our family. We are watching God work, and we're thankful for that. But even in our family devotions last night, we said, okay, we're going to start dealing with some of this stuff. Satan does not want our kids to live for God. Satan doesn't want you to live for God. Pray for us, but let's pray for each other. And as we follow on, the commands of God haven't changed. This is how we know how to live our lives, through the Word of God. The Word of God must be priority. We've got to obey it. That's simple. I don't wonder what to do, but that's sure going to be tough. Sometimes that's how we live life, right? Man, I have no choice because this is what God's word has said. But that's going to be tough. Sometimes that happens. But that's why we meditate on God's word and observe to do. It doesn't say just a little bit of God's words or which I want to do, but observe to do all. And that is our goal. For God's glory is a church family. That's why the studies we've chosen at this time is what we're doing. And those studies will change because those will be done. Because we're going to continue growing together. Yes, that's the theme of this year. But really, that's the theme of our lives together. We are going to continue growing spiritually and relationally together as a church family. But it can only come as we let God's word be the priority that it needs to be. Obey his word wholly. Meditate on it constantly. It's got to be it. Some of you have memorized verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. That's how we observe. That's how we do it. Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And then, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's his word. So here, Joshua said, you need to meditate, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Do we want to prosper as a church family? Again, we've got to remember what that word prosper means. It doesn't mean that we're going to grow exceedingly in numbers. Now, included in that might be growth in numbers. Do you pray for that this year? I do. We want to see more people grow and come, be part of the church family. But it doesn't just mean, well, that means we're just going to get more people at church. We're going to do all this stuff in our building. We're not trying to grow as a social club. We're trying to grow for God. And so here, remembering, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and that then thou shalt have good success. The children of Israel, there were good times and bad times, struggles. They didn't dominate the world. The point, as God was promising them and leading them through life, wasn't that they could dominate the world and be the world power. Israel's never been the world power. I mean, even today, look how small of a landmass they have. They are not the world power. But as they went through, God had a plan for them. And God has a plan for our church. Doesn't mean we're going to be the most well-known church in the state of Michigan. It doesn't mean, wow, we're going to be the biggest church. So many things dictate that. We're not going to be the biggest church in the state of Michigan. We're not going to be the largest. Well, I mean, but that's not what it's about. Being prosperous and going on for God is that we can do all to the glory of God. I want to be prosperous and doing all for the glory of God. Don't you? I mean, I want to have good success with our goal of doing all to the glory of God. And that takes you being in your place as we walk together. Our church couldn't be what it is without our pianists, without our sound system, and without those who work it, without our kids' ministries, without you in your proper role, fulfilling what God has called you to do. And God has called each of you to do something. There's our sound system, yes. But God has called each of us to do something. And I want to be successful in the role God's called me. Don't you want to be successful in the role God has called you to do here? So we need to let God's word be priority in our lives and dictate everything we do. And again, I with the kids ministry at night, I call them down front, I try to have a song, a kids song, that is something that really ties in with the message. Now last week, we were talking about deacons, right? And did anybody remember the kids song that we sang? B-I-B-L-E. What does that have to do with deacons? Everything. We want our kids to see the Bible must be priority. And if we want them to see it, it's got to be in our lives. God's promises have not changed. His presence has not departed. But we must recognize not just His promises, but His commands, that we must let His word be priority. And then we've got to pursue it. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. And your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it." Notice we can enjoy the blessings of God. It's okay. That's good. But we want to enjoy it and make sure it's his blessings and not just what we're enjoying in life and trying to strive for our enjoyment. See, they were pursuing what God had called them to do. They were pursuing God's promises and the plans that he had for them. And Joshua says, remember, that must be your pursuit from here on. The same pursuit you had under Moses is the same pursuit we're going to have today. We're not changing, he said. We're going to continue on with God's word as a priority and his plans, the direction of our lives. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commanded us, we will what? Do." Let's read that together. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commanded us, we will do." Joshua didn't give them a new command, did he? Moses didn't give it to him. God gave it to him. As we teach our children to obey us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We teach them they're not obeying us because they have to obey mom and dad, but because God said to obey. I'm not giving some command as I lead. I'm teaching you what God has said. And this is what's going to dictate your life individually and thus together as we gather as a church family and live as a shining lighthouse in this community. They were pursuing God's will and his word. Verse 17, they go on the end of verse 16, after they said, "All that you command us will do," they then say, "And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee." They're not just saying, "I'm going to blindly follow you." Look what the end of verse 17 says. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. We will follow you the same as you have followed God, just like Moses has followed God. And as God was with Moses, he'll be with you. We're going to follow God. And as a church family, that's who we're following. Yes, God has called me to pastor and to lead. As much as I grow in Christ and draw nigh to him, we are following Christ. It's not about me saying, okay, this is what I think the church and this is what I think. And wait, what does God want? This is his church. And Joshua was leading the children of Israel. It was about God's presence in his life. And they said, we'll follow God. Verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. As Joshua was taking over and as he was transisting, he remembered God's promises. He recognized God's commands. But he realized God's blessings. And the children of Israel saw that too. We know God's going to bless if we remember God's presence. And if we remember his plans haven't changed. And if we choose to continue making his word a priority and following him, pursuing after him, his blessings are real. What are those blessings? Fulfilled promises. I mean, yes, these promises were made to Moses and the children of Israel, but under Joshua's leadership, these people were going in to possess the land. They were fulfilled promises. God's word is great and incredible and powerful. But it wasn't just that his promises were fulfilled. Man, and we see throughout this chapter, his presence is experienced. Joshua said, I want it. Moses had it. The people said, Moses had it. We want you to have it. But the exciting thing is it's not just for God's presence in my life. It's for God's presence in your life. The presence of God is real. That's what will help us grow together during this transition time. And really, his power is experienced. His power. God's power was real. And that is what made the difference in the lives of the children of Israel as they went in to possess the land, as they continued on the path they were called to go. I want God's power in our church family. The only way for God's power to be real in our church family is if we each individually have it in our lives. This is not about me leading in a powerful way because of God. It's about me and my walk with God and you and your walk with God. As yes, I lead to godliness, but as we all follow godliness together. That's how we're going to grow together this year. That's how God's going to make a difference in our lives and in our church family. His presence is seen. And his power is experienced. Why? Because his word is priority. So let's continue on through this time of transition. Continue on as I ask you your name again and again and again. Continue on as, yeah, we've got that over here. Oh, that's what that key goes to. Oh, there's a lot of practical things. A lot of practical things as a church family we'll learn together. But the most important of it is spiritual. If we're just here for a bunch of practical things, don't come. And I want you here. But this is about God. And life is about living for him. And as a church family, we will grow in him. As we follow him, make his word priority,